We have somebody here, very exciting. He's going to talk to you today about hacking for a living. So, here, let me bring him on right now.
Hi. There we are. How's it going? I'm Nick.
Hi, Nick. Pleasure to have you on.
What was your name again?
This is Beaches.
Beaches. How are you, man?
Pretty good. How you doing?
I'm good. Nick Vivid here. Yeah, my show, I guess I was going to call it Hacking for a Living. It's kind of a multi-dimensional thing. I just kind of wanted to say thanks to Radio Statler for having me here and letting me get on the air this morning. We got up super early and made it over here. Got a table here at the conference this weekend, and it's just been absolutely amazing so far. Everybody's just so helpful and so nice. For those of you who are not in New York, I've lived in New York for 12 years now, and I've never actually made it to Hope throughout for a full conference before. But every year, every time I listen to Radio Statler, and I always try to get a sense of what it might seem like in here. So for those of you who went through what I went through, I just wanted to kind of lay it out. This is this radio station is literally in a corner of the second floor, kind of put together with just a bunch of insulation and duct tape. And an amazing, like, little computer setup and, you know, mixing console and DJ gear. And it's great microphones. These Shure SM7s are here and great Sennheiser headphones. I mean, the whole thing is just laid out beautifully. The rest of the second floor is just a ton of tables of people sharing information. We have the ACLU up here. We have Electronic Frontier Foundation up here. We have literally 5 feet away from them a lockpicking exhibit for the entire opposite side of the spectrum. It just goes to show the gamut that this whole thing runs. It's an amazing experience, and I'm grateful to be part of it. And the reason I wanted to speak this morning is kind of like, it's about my life and it's about my struggles being a hacker for a living, as my lifestyle and as a way of thinking. I noticed, and correct me if I'm wrong, IRC, but we don't think like other people. We don't feel like other people. I've always felt different than everybody growing up. And when I was a little kid, there were two things that kind of made me feel like I belonged to something. First one was rock and roll and the band Kiss. They were my first love growing up. I got into them when I was 5 years old, and like the kids down the street had like these baseball cards of Gene Simmons breathing fire and wearing kabuki makeup. And I'm like, oh my God, this is the most amazing thing I've ever seen in my entire life. And it really made me feel connected to something when I got my first record. I felt like I belonged to something finally. And the second experience in my life that made me feel like that was when I got my first Commodore 64 computer. And I would play on that thing for hours. I would not do my homework. I would get in trouble all the time. The sense of community, though, that I had with other people when I discovered BBSing, swap, copy parties, I felt like, again, like I belonged to something. Oh, there's the donuts. Fantastic. Throughout my entire life, those two things have been constant themes. They've never left me. And one thing I realized was that going to school, I was never really good in math. And therefore, as computers go, I only could get a limited grasp of how to use them, how to work them, how to hack on them. I kind of come from a technological background as far as my dad is, as far as I'm concerned, an electronics genius. He would repair televisions and VCRs growing up. He used to be a broadcast engineer and on-the-air personality. He would you know, tell me stories about fixing transmitters, you know, working on old tube TVs growing up. Now I, for a living, fix guitar amplifiers, and, you know, it kind of, the cycle goes on with my family. Where was I with this? going back, though, see, I've totally lost my train of thought. I realized with the, you know, the computer thing, I was only going to be so good at it. And really, for me, playing music ended up being an outlet that I felt really confident in. So when I was 16, I got my first four-track recorder, and I started making my own music. And then I realized I wasn't making popular music of the time. I wasn't making music with other kids in school. I was just doing my own thing, coming up with my own things. And my goal with it always, and I realize this is, you know, where the hacking mindset comes in, my goal was always to learn. My goal was always to get better at what I did, and it was always to find a new challenge to propel myself to another level. And fast forward a few years later, I put my first real band together, and I happened, and, you know, this is not to name drop or to boast or anything like that. It's just kind of to show you where I come from. I ended up getting signed by Kiss's original manager. So here's the guy who propelled the band that, as a little kid, gave me a sense of being. And now he's managing me. And he tells me, go to New York. So I get to New York. And now I think I'm going to be a big rock star. And so here I am playing all these gigs with this band. And we're doing really well. And we're playing to, you know, all packing these small clubs in the East Village. And I realized the one thing about it was that I hated it. I absolutely love making music, and I hate everything else about the music business. I hate going to music conventions. Music conventions are full of people who want nothing but to better themselves. There's no interest in helping anybody else. It's all about me, me, me. You go to see other bands play. They're not about trying to pursue their artistic endeavors by pushing themselves to another level. They're not interested in trying to help their fellow musicians be better. Everybody's just talking behind each other's backs and trying to just make it about them. But then I come to Hope. And the reason I know I belong here and not with those people is because this is a place where everybody is just wanting to help each other. Everybody just wants to learn more. Everybody's excited about being part of something that's important. And for me, making music was always trying to do something important. I always wanted to have that feeling that, like, you know, I want to look back on my life someday and say I did something that made a difference. And sadly, with music, and it's my main love in life, I don't get that sense. And that's why I feel like more of a hacker than a musician. Because for me, being a hacker is about, you know, as you always hear and people always say, it's always about being curious. It's always about wanting to know how something works. It's about wanting to know how things go. It's about wanting to further the idea. It's about wanting to be, evoke change, you know. There's so many different aspects to it, but they all involve a sense of a bigger idea at the end of the day. At the end of the day, hopefully things are bigger, things are better, and we're better, and we understand more about things. So my constant struggle in life has always been to find something that related to those values. And sadly, in music, I don't think that's ever going to be the case. I don't think anybody who works in the music business is ever going to understand that should be a priority. It's just a world that doesn't work with. So that's why I find myself more at home here. And that's why I find myself more at home with the types of people that choose to be at Hope. So for me, it's always been, well, where's that sweet spot where I can blend all the worlds together? And it took me quite some time. You know, now what I do for a living is that I own a recording studio and a guitar and amp repair shop in the Lower East Side. So I'm still working in music, but I'm also repairing things, helping people make records. And for me, it's all about making that a better, making a better experience for everybody. You know, I have so much joy when somebody comes into my shop and has something broken and I'm able to fix it, and they walk out and they're happier than when they came in. I think for making a living, doing, being the kind of people that we are, it's a real tough challenge to do something you love, but also feel like, you know, I mean, if you're really good at doing security, well, you could do security for Walmart. If you got a job offer to do like Walmart's, like, you know, security system, you know, would you feel right about it knowing what kind of people are running the show over there? You know, there's a lot of challenges out there with finding a way to do what we love for a living without feeling like we're shortchanging some other deeper sense of our spiritual nature, or, you know, some other thing that's important to us in our soul. Let's see here. What, how am I? Oh, geez. 15 minutes in and I feel like I've already gone through an hour. I don't know. What's IRC saying? Anything interesting? Am I saying anything? Am I saying anything groundbreaking, IRC, or am I saying stupid stuff? I'm breaking software for a living. I love doing that. Well, that's great. Absolutely. I do find that here at Hope, I have met more people who are doing what they love. When I go to music industry conventions and get-togethers, I find everybody to be frustrated people. I find everybody to be people who are unfulfilled. So far, it's not good. Oh, it's not stupid. See, my I can't read. So far, it's not stupid. Fantastic. That's one of the things I always notice, though. Yeah, I go to music industry conventions, and I just find everybody to be miserable people. And everybody's out to serve themselves and not help anybody else. I mean, really, what is there to say nowadays? It's like you go to a music industry convention, and you'll just sit there, and everybody will talk about iTunes, or they'll talk about file sharing. I mean, I was one of the first people to file share. I was doing that on my Commodore back in the 80s, you know, when the latest game would come out. And so, like, how can I be a hypocrite and say, well, this isn't a good idea, considering I love doing it? I remember even telling my manager back in the year 2000, I mean, we'd sit in there for a meeting. I go, you know, music's going to be free someday. And he's like, no way. It's never going to be free. And we're at the point where, you know, I mean, we're in an open source world now. And how do you take music and make it open source? There's a... it's interesting because there's a, you know, there's all sorts of people who will always tell you different ways you can still make money off your music. It makes me miserable even to think about it, because I've been hearing the same rhetoric for years from people in that business. And everybody's, you know, well there's a, what is it, the some sales funnel, the ALDA sales funnel or something like that. I don't even remember the name of it. Somebody in... It's like, you know, you push people to buy the product, and then if they don't buy, you send them a follow-up a couple days later, and then send them a follow-up a couple days later, and then, you know, if they buy, maybe you can sell them two records for the price of one, or, you know, half off the second one. It's kind of a miserable way to live and to pursue your art. For me, hacking's definitely all about the art aspect of it, but it again, you know, I go to these music conventions and people are just always trying to find ways to figure out a problem it's really just kind of unsolvable. Whereas you come to HOPE, and it really kind of rings true about its, you know, the acronym, you know. There's a lot of hope in these rooms, you know. I mean, on the airwaves later today, we're going to have Edward Snowden. I mean, talk about being part of something that's important, you know. I wish in music there was something like hope. There's nothing like it, you know. I come here and there's just so much clarity as far as a sense of purpose from everybody. Everybody's very sure of their why they're doing what they're doing. Everybody knows exactly why they're doing what they're doing here. Everybody understands that they have that sense of purpose, that they really believe in the direction, in their choices that they're making, in their personal lives, and in what, you know, in what they're doing and what they're trying to pursue. That sense of wrong and right, that internal sense of wrong and right, which is nice because we figured that one out on our own. You know, we didn't have the government tell us what's wrong and right. We said, no, I'm going to choose for myself what's wrong and right. I'm going to use my own moral compass to determine what I feel is wrong and right. And I see that here. I see just the inspiration in so many people just being so clear about their direction. Excuse me. You don't see that in music. You just don't see it. Nobody's clear about their sense of direction. Everybody's trying to figure out what's hip and what they're supposed to do next. And everybody's a follower. Everybody's a follower in that world. There's just no interest in being a leader in that world. There's no reason to. If you could, I don't know, something could happen. So it's sad that, you know, in an artistic field like music, where you would hope that the reason people are making it is to inspire others to do better things with their lives, it's the furthest thing from the truth. It's never going to be like that. So this is why I come to HOPE. This is why I'm here. Because this is the place that gives that to me. This is the place that makes me feel like I really, really belong to something that is about doing better things. And I'm always struggling, not even struggling, but it's always a challenge for me to find a way to make that work with, you know, my other artistic endeavors that I love, such as music. So if anybody has any ideas, the IRC or whatever, feel free to send them over. Let's see here. Where are we at? 9:20-something probably by now? 9:21. Look at me. 20 minutes in, and I've already gone over two topics. I have no idea what else to talk about. Beaches, do you have anything you want to talk about? Do you have any questions for me? Help me out here. It's already been a long morning.
So, you've been talking about how your experiences are. So, hey, people in IRC, tell us about, like, what your jobs are. Are you finding them fulfilling? How are they lining up with your personal values? Is that working out for you?
Yeah, we saw the one about being a software breaker. What time are the talks starting?
You guys have
get this guy off the air. Who does he think he is? Well, talks start at 10. So right after I'm done. I test software for a living.
And Matt Joe, you test it and you like it, right? You mentioned that earlier.
I test software for a living. Yes, that's what I meant. Yes.
Awesome. What about you other guys?
I like doing that, yes. That's good.
Does anybody on IRC, like, abhor what you're doing and you're just doing it because there's a paycheck? Like, Fun Socks, do you mean, like, at, on the floor?
Yeah, like so somebody's asking how many people are up and wandering around. It's growing out there. I don't think it's a huge amount yet, but
Yeah, it's still pretty early.
Still pretty early in the day.
I think everybody's probably sleeping.
Oh, we looked over at the lockpicking village when I came in this morning, and it was just beer bottles everywhere over there. So I was like, somebody had fun last night.
We've actually got quite a number of beer cans and bottles in here.
Apparently. Yeah, I see somebody was playing Cards Against Humanity on the air last night, apparently.
Yeah, they went for like 2 hours. And
that's fantastic.
It's a great game.
It
really is.
I haven't played it in a while. It was enough time to kill. We can go for a round. Software designer, most parts align with the values, but I'm often aware that the things I'm developing really only benefit the 1%. Yeah. Yeah, it's tough sometimes because, you know, we have to, you know, where do we, you know, when my dad was telling me stories about, you know, yeah, and everybody has to do this, but, you know, sometimes you just got to eat crow to put food on the table. You know, you got to make sacrifices. You're like, how many am I going to make? You know, what am I okay with conceding on right now as opposed to, you know, what line am I not going to cross? It's a real hard one. You know, I think finally for me, you know, again, with having my own recording studio and repair shop, I'm finally doing something that kind of makes me feel like, okay, I don't feel like I'm sacrificing anything here. I think I'm sacrificing some of my artistic endeavors and some of the things I would like to pursue further. But for the most part, I'm confident to walk around the streets for once, you know, and not feel like, oh man, I'm selling out to the man or I'm doing something completely horrible in order to get somewhere that I don't necessarily know I want to be anyway. Working for a bank, test mortgage software, functional testing. Oh, wow. So somebody on the IRC chat is working for a bank and basically they're testing software that when that software goes live, 10,000 people are going to lose their jobs. That's a, you know, that's a burden to carry on your shoulders. You wonder, you know, if, yeah, it's tough.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Because, you know, I mean, you know, that's one of the things too, because you know that regardless of whether you were there or not, somebody's going to do that job. That software is going to get tested. That software is going to get made. People are going to lose their jobs and you have no control over it. And so you go, what do I got to put food on the table. I got to keep the roof over my head. And it's sitting there for me, and I guess I should do it, because somebody's going to do it. It's one of those things. If you didn't take that job in protest, it wouldn't make a difference. Exactly. I have no control over it, but I need to make the money some way. Absolutely. You know.
So, what is your recommendation for people who are currently eating crow? Do they need to just? Should they just wait for something better or try to make their own luck? Like, what do you think?
Well, my thing has always been about making my own luck, because I do think good things do come along, but I don't think anything good happens by sitting and waiting and not taking any action whatsoever. You know, for me, I've been lucky to be able to get into, like, before I did this, I was working in sound production, doing engineering at local clubs, which I didn't mind. And before that, I was bartending, which I absolutely hated because I don't drink. And it wasn't awful, but I was just like, why am I shilling out alcohol to people all night long? It's not really serving anybody. I don't feel like I'm making anybody's day better by doing this. It's not contributing to the fabric of society. And finally starting to do sound, I was actually, okay, somebody's at least getting entertained tonight, and the fact that I'm able to mix this pretty good and it sounds really good in the room and people in the audience are enjoying themselves, you know. That was just luck, you know, in a sense, because I was working at a bar that also had a venue in it. But yeah, there are those situations where you just have to do what you have to do in order to keep the roof over your head. But again, you know, if you can take a look for for more things, different opportunities out there. I mean, certainly I've had jobs where I just go, there's one day you just say to yourself, that's it, I can't do this anymore. You know, this has got to end and I got to get out of here and go do something else. Even if it's a lateral move, you know, to something else that's probably equally crappy in a completely, you know, different way. you sometimes have to do that lateral move. Let's see here. Anybody else in the chat room? What do you guys do for a living? At the halfway point of my show, this is Nick Vivid, and you are listening to Radio Statler.
I think everybody's probably asleep except for a few people. I think everybody's idling.
Oh, yeah. We are definitely the early morning crew here.
Which is kind of funny because it's like 9:30. If we weren't at a conference, you'd probably have to be at work right now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I'd be going to the studio right now. I took off for the weekend, so I could be here, which I'm totally okay with. What other talks are coming up today? Let's talk about what else is going to be on Radio Statler today.
So the schedule actually lists... So up next, after Nick here goes and has more fun at the conference...
Yeah. At my table.
We're going to have Alex Matthews and some of his friends are coming in at 10. And they're going to... They're from Restore the Fourth.
Okay.
Which should be pretty exciting.
Yeah.
If you are looking on the schedule on the website, so it's radio.hope.net/schedule.html. We have listed that we're going to be streaming Ask the EFF, and generally, like, that's a great plan, and if you can make that talk, you should, but that's been replaced with Becky Stern.
Okay.
Are you familiar with Becky Stern?
No.
She's the chief, she's in charge of wearable electronics at Adafruit.
Oh, okay.
So she should be coming in. We're going to do a little interview with her.
Oh, that's great.
So then after that, we're going to have... So if you guys listened to Cable Flames talk, she was talking about that other person who's doing like a sex talk. That other person is Kristen Stubbs, and she's going to be on the air. If you are able to like Google and not like get fired, look for... Just type in Kristen Stubbs and then the hammer.
Okay.
It's really interesting. It's a cool little piece of kit, and she has a bunch of other stuff. I'm really looking forward to meeting her. I think that's going to be awesome. Then after that, we're going to take a little break from having live people in, and we're going to stream from upstairs Daniel Ellsberg's keynote address.
Fantastic.
And then right after that, we're going to stream Edward Snowden,
because
he's going to be... I'm going to say Skyping, but like, it's not, I'm sure it's not actually going over Skype.
That would be amazing though, if they just, yeah, we just went with Skype, you know budget cuts, no encryption, no problem.
We're going to be streaming that, which is going to be really exciting. And we should be, I think I'm just going to leave the thing recording pretty much all day.
Oh yeah.
We just have such back-to-back content. So we're going to have that. That's going to be amazing. And then Vigilante Justice, Mass Guns and Networks will not be aired, because we would have had to record it last night and we apparently didn't. I think we had technical difficulties.
Beer difficulties.
So we're going to have, I think, Nick Farr come in. I need to actually send him an email about that. I was supposed to... So like I went to bed at like 3 last night. I was like, oh, I'm going to sleep for like 2 hours. And then like 4 hours later, it's, oh my God, I didn't do anything. I need to go do stuff.
Oh, I know that feeling. Yeah. I got a whole 5 hours. I probably more well rested than most of the conference people. I followed the 5-2-1 rule last night to a T. This is perfect.
Yeah. Like, if you guys don't know what the 5-2-1 rule is, it is like the best way?
It's actually really effective. It's 5 hours of sleep per night. This is for conferences. This is like the rule for conferences. 5 hours of sleep per night, 2 meals a day, and 1 shower a day. Which actually makes sense. I had 2 meals. It was perfect. I got 5 hours of sleep. Great. And took a shower. Feel great. So there you go. Yeah. And I'm ready to do it again today. So it works. I'm living proof.
And then, so at 5 o'clock, Nick God's running kind of a little panel.
Okay.
And it's just entitled, Let's Talk About Guns.
Okay.
It's not like, hey, let's just like talk about what kind of guns we've shot. It's not gonna be anything like that. It's gonna be talking about like philosophical reasons. Like Nick God's kind of interesting, because he shoots handguns, but he thinks like hunting is not the best thing.
Okay, sure.
Which I'm like the opposite, because like handguns are pretty much designed just to kill people. Like,
uh-huh.
That's why they exist. It's just to mess somebody else up.
Right.
Whereas hunting, you know, we gotta eat.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you're like deer hunting, you know, if you don't hunt deer, they're gonna overpopulate, and then you're gonna have deer that are starving to death.
Right.
And you're gonna have people hitting them with their cars, which is bad for the deer and generally bad for people.
And for the car, yeah.
Well, I mean, sometimes even like deer are huge. Like nobody ever thinks about it, but they're several hundred pounds.
Oh yeah.
So like you could get
seriously injured if you hit a deer. Absolutely.
So, you know, so it's going to be kind of stuff like that, talking about like regulations and things.
That's interesting because again, that kind of goes back to the whole thing again of you know, where do your values lie in terms of what you do with your life? You know, and some people are totally fine with hunting animals and other people are totally not fine with hunting animals. But this will be an interesting you know, look at the other side of it, you know, and the value system behind owning handguns, but not believing in the typical use of them, you know, so.
And there's also going to be, like, talk about, like, regulations. So, like, you know, I think that I'm not actually going to be talking about this. I apparently have lots of opinions on this, but I'm not going to be talking with Nick God about this. But I think that you should have to get a certification exam. So, like, you have to go make sure, like, take a safety class, like, couple of years. And, like, you know, you get licensed to drive a car because if you don't know how to drive a car properly, you're going to mess up somebody else's day.
Mm-hmm.
And I think guns should have a similar thing where, you know, you got to take a shooting test, go take a safety class every couple of years to get your license renewed because, you know, if you don't know how to properly handle and treat your gun, then you're going to mess up somebody else's day.
Right.
Or possibly your own. You just don't know. So we got that going on. And then after that, we're going to have Stereo Semantics with Oriella Moser. And then I don't know if you guys saw the concert last night, but Radio Wonderland was the last set. Did you see the concert last night?
No, I didn't. I left around 10:30, and I think it was before the concert even began.
Yeah, it started at 11. Are you going to go to the concert tonight?
We'll try, yeah, because we have to, you know, all the gear from our table, we have to take it back every night. And bring it back every morning, and it's quite a bit of tear down and setup, but it's been worth it. It's been worth it, but in order to you know, achieve the 5-2-1 rule to a T, we have to leave around 10:30, 11 every night. But were they playing again tonight or?
Yeah, so there's one. It's a 2-part concert series.
Okay.
So there's one pretty much every night that the concert actually exists.
Nice.
And so Radio Wonderland did the last set, and are you familiar with him?
No.
I think you'd actually find him really interesting. So he takes, like, a big boombox, and he pipes in radio, like FM radio.
Mm-hmm.
And then so it's like found art.
So okay.
Because he remixes it live.
On the spot.
On the spot, but not using just your traditional things. Like, he has an old steering wheel from, like, a Buick.
Mm-hmm.
Which can do pitch shift. And
yeah, I was reading up on that a little. Yeah. What this guy does. Yeah.
So
okay,
we're gonna have him on, and that's gonna be really exciting. And then, Forgotten 247's doing a punk rock hacker show.
Oh.
Yeah.
That sounds really cool. Now that sounds right up my alley.
And then we have Leisha Sterling coming on.
And what's her show?
So she's really just getting an interview, but if you're not familiar with Leisha, she's really pretty cool. She works on Geeks Without Bounds.
Okay.
Let me bring up her profile so that I don't start just like trying to talk from memory and then completely like say all the wrong
things. All the wrong things. Oh, I was actually describing somebody else. That's the one thing about Hope. There's so many people you meet in one weekend. I've met already probably a couple hundred people in one day. And I hear today is actually going to be two or three times as crazy as yesterday was. Got a big email about how many people are showing up for the Ed Snowden talk today. And it's going to be bedlam in here. It's already feeling kind of, you know, I hate to use wrestling analogies. No, actually, let me take that back. I love to use wrestling analogies. But you'll be able to cut the electricity with a knife in here when all that goes down. And as we're scrolling down the entirely large list of speakers.
So we're using Max pretty much to run everything, and I hate it.
Yeah.
All right, so on her bio on the speakers, Leisha Sterling is the developer coordinator for Geeks Without Bounds, which is an accelerator that supports open source humanitarian projects through hackathons and mentorship. She's been a software developer for over 20 years and was the TA that helped develop and teach one of the first college-level courses in political science about the internet and its use in activism at College of Alameda in 1995.
Wow, that was the year I made my first website. It was like 94. It was so funny because 94, I was BBSing in the 80s. And in 94, I go to college and there's these VAX computers in the lab and they connect to a thing called the internet. And it's just like having a bunch of computers all connected together, but permanently. As opposed to dial-up. And there's these chat rooms called IRC and FTP for downloading. A thing called links, you know, to check out a thing called websites. Like, this is fantastic. So I ended up failing out of college. I just spent all my time in the VAX lab. I'm like, learning this is going to better me for the future than anything I could learn in any class. So that's all I spent my time doing is working in the VAX lab. Kind of worked. So... So that's amazing that like within a year of me doing that, and I know where things were at the time. I'm trying to remember back about how nobody, it was not mainstream by any means back then. So to be doing a college course on that, on that subject is pretty groundbreaking for the time. She definitely could see the future.
So yeah, that's like super exciting.
Yeah.
And then we're gonna have some. It's listed on the schedule as blank space, but what that usually means is that our buddy Side Pocket is going to go find the coolest people at the con and bring them in here.
Oh, that means I'll be back on later.
You might just. Okay, so you're over at the vendor tables, right?
Yeah, well, no, I'm in the demo area.
Okay, so you're in the demo area.
Yeah, I'm right next to the lockpicking village. I brought my Commodore 64s with me. You know, again, you know, my love of my childhood. These are the things I hold on to, and... So I brought it because, you know, in New York, in America in general, there's really not that much of a Commodore scene. It's still the demo scene in Europe, still pretty strong. But in America, there's more of a hardware hacking scene.
Yeah.
And so I kind of wanted to see if there was any like-minded people in the New York area who wanted to kind of regularly do meetups. And get-togethers to talk about the Commodore and freaking, you know, and the old school freaking. You know, it's like let's just act like it's 1987. Who wants to get together and just do that every once in a while? You know, we'll code some demos and we'll share them with each other and we'll swap discs and we'll just have some fun. So that's why I came. I came with all my gear and and then to get people into it, I built some Raspberry Pi emulators and brought some games and old, we're connected to the net and we've got a BBS up and running and we're connected to the old Quantum Link system with IRC on a system. So, you know, trying to like bridge the old and the new.
So you said you're running a BBS, right?
Yeah, it's there, but we're still having, I'm still trying to get Nock to port forward over for me.
Oh, yeah, I remember you coming in, I think, talking to them.
Yeah, so, yeah, I'm still trying to see. I know they've been so busy, so I haven't wanted to bother them with my little, you know. Could you send port 6400 to my computer over there, please? You know, they got other things to do right now. So, but maybe if we got some time this afternoon, we can get that up and running.
That would be, I think, really cool. So when it's running, though, so if people are inside the con, can they connect to it?
Yeah, sure.
If you're outside?
Yeah, no, if they're in the con, they could totally connect to it. Well, right now, I still don't know if they can connect to it in the con. But you know, if they had like a phone that you could use any app, ANSI terminal, like Blowtorch or something like that to connect to it. There are some people I know. There's a guy who's working on an Android actual Commodore 40-column terminal emulator, which I can't wait for that to come out. I've been pestering him for months about that. I'm like, can you finish the Android emulator, please? So, you know, we'll see. There's like 26 bulletin board systems still in existence on the Commodore. There's one dial-up. We might try getting the coupler going later, too, and see if we can. I was joking with some guys last night. I'm like, if we can get this 2400 baud coupler to work with my Android phone, we might actually be able to dial up BBS systems at 2400 baud. And we were joking last night that if we could make that happen, it might be the most impressive technological feat of the entire weekend, because that might be harder to do than some of the other hacks that are going on right now. So we might, you know, this technology from 1987, don't rule it out as hard to work with. This might happen yet, though. We'll see. Yeah. Oh.
I'll certainly be keeping my fingers crossed. That sounds pretty awesome.
Yeah, if we can get that going, I'd probably be jumping for joy in the streets. So, but yeah, it'll be good.
So, would you like to tell? So, you said you have equipment, and I'm assuming that's you've got at least one Commodore 64. What all do you have?
Yeah, we got two machines. I got a SX64 portable, brought just a regular standard bread box system, and got a Raspberry Pi emulator running. Awesome. A third one. So, and yeah, and then we got, you know, the BBS running on another emulator on a PC. So that's like four in total with, you know, two real machines, two emulators. So, and we had a demo. I took it was really nice, actually. This was very convenient that the Hope website, mm-hmm. if you look at it, the color scheme is very basic.
Yeah.
So we took the images, and I was able to get them ported over to the old Commodore Koala bitmap format, because with the lack of colors in the color scheme, I'm like, oh, this is to be a perfect translation to the Commodore. So we have a little Hope demo running where all the pictures of all the people on the dissenters from the Hope front page have all been translated into Commodore bitmap, and now they're on display over at the Commodore table. So.
Well, that's fantastic. Have you been getting a lot of people stopping by?
A lot. And it's always been people who were like, oh, my God, this was my first computer. This was the first computer I hacked on. This was the first machine that I learned to code on. You know, and then there's another group of people who are like, I still use mine. And then there's even another who goes, I think I have mine in my parents' garage. You know, it might like almost like inspired to go dig it out now, yeah. You know. So, you know, that was definitely the agenda for the weekend with me. It was like, let's see if we can inspire some people to get on this thing. You know, I'd love to start like an online zine or something like that again. Just, you know, old school disc magazine, you know, we'll see. Again, these are, you know, these are hobbies, but these are lifelong passions. So, you know, if I got time to do it, you know, I'd like to make time to do it.
That sounds really cool.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. And it's great being here. Just, again, you know, it's inspiring to be here at Hope, because just the amount of people who think in that way, who think about making the most out of what they have, are so positive, are so excited about everything they're doing. I mean, this is... The amount of people, the volunteer, the amount of people who are just like, we all believe in this thing. We're all work together towards, because we believe in this idea. We believe in this, you know, you know, and it's, I've just never seen anything like it. The level of camaraderie here is just fantastic. And again, you know, for the other things I love in my life, and especially music, I wish I'd see something like this there, you know, but it ain't ever going to happen. And that's why I'm here, because this is, I feel more at home here than I do with anything I ever do with music, even though, you know, I love it, but you know, I find myself loving it most when I'm in my basement writing and composing on my own without anybody around. So what are you going to do? Anything else in the chat room? Anybody else have any other jobs that they find having a struggle with? Missed the concert last night. Better than Windows. Probably talking about the Commodore 64. It is. I can say that with authority. No. Oh, Max. Oh, he was talking about when we were talking about the Max. Boo. Yeah. Every time I say, I'm saying no, and he says yes on the chat room. I'm going to say, okay, fun socks. No. I'm waiting for a yes. What kind of delay are we on? Oh, whatever. I'm just killing time now. What time is it? 9:40. Oh, we almost made it through a full hour. Look at this. Yeah. Thank you for saving my butt. I literally, I was just, we've been so crazy. I'm like, oh, I'll make notes Friday night, you know, about what I'm Saturday. I've been kind of thinking about it all week and going, okay, what am I going to talk about Saturday? And it's like, you know, scrambling around. Way busier yesterday than I thought I was going to be. And this morning when I got up, I'm like, if I even have a voice this morning, because I've been talking to so many people yesterday, and I felt it getting hoarse, and I'm like, oh, man, if I even have a voice tomorrow morning, I don't even know what the heck I'm going to say now. So I'm like, well, I just better go on and wing it. So,
fun socks, for clarity, I don't actually like using Windows. I actually am a huge Linux user. There's a laptop, actually. There's one laptop. It's an old piece of shit Dell. It's like, I think, seven... I got it when I went to college, which was like 7 years ago.
Okay.
And it's got like Crunch Bang on it.
Uh-huh.
But I mean, really, I don't hate Macs. It's just really weird because they do like the inverted scrolling thing. So uh-huh. Like, I'll keep trying to like, I'm like trying to scroll down a list.
Yeah,
like,
it ends up going the other way.
What is going on?
Makes no sense. Yeah, if I could do everything, you know, the only thing with Linux is the audio drivers.
Oh, yeah.
For doing pro audio. It's almost impossible. My studio, we have the M Audio Profire, mm-hmm. Which is a channel sound card, and man, if they had M Audio drivers for Linux and all the VSTs that I needed for Linux, I would never use Windows ever again. That is literally the only reason I'm still on a XP machine. But aside from that, yeah.
Well, which drivers have you had experience with? Are you talking like Pulse, Alsa, and I think GStreamer?
Yeah, but they for the M Audio, it's an 8-channel ASIO, you know, and it's tough to get that to run on Linux because you need the proprietary drivers from M Audio. So it'll never, you know, unless they make a Linux driver, which they'll never do.
There was one, I don't remember. I was actually trying to work on a Linux DAW, like a Linux-based DAW.
Okay.
Using like an audio card. I think
you probably use like a dummy, you know.
Well, I think Jack. I think it's called Jack. Are you familiar with Jack?
No.
You should take a look at that. You might find it interesting. Jack, you can like take. You can pretty much wire up out. So like the Linux command line, like Bash, you can use pipes to pipe input. Like output from one program into another one.
Oh, right, sure.
It's like the same thing, but for audio.
Oh, okay.
So you can move stuff around. I think it's like Jack, and then it has like a name. It's like Jack D or something like that.
Okay.
But I don't know. I decided against it because you end up using like Ardour instead of like some pro audio thing.
Right, so, like, right.
It's like, I have this issue, but, like, nobody uses a software package.
So
crap.
<It's> if I don't figure this out on my own, it's never going to happen.
Or you'll find, oh, that you're like, I have this issue. Let me Google it. And you find like one post from like 3 years ago. Right. Somebody's like, mm-hmm.
And somebody just asked the question. Nobody actually answered it.
Oh no, actually, I
see,
I think
those all the time.
The worst part too is like,
and they bump it and they go, anyone?
No, I think the worst ones actually are like, so the person like opens up the issue and then they'll post like another one and it's like, okay, I fixed it. And they won't tell you how right. they fixed it. Like, yes. Dude, no, what did you do?
That happens all the time. You gotta like get an account, private message them. And then they haven't logged on in 3 years. They're never gonna get this message.
Or they get the message like, dude, it was like 2 a.m. and I think I was a little drunk and I did a bunch of crap. So I don't know.
Whatever I did, it worked. Yeah. All right. Thank you.
All right.
Yeah, exactly. The solution's out there somewhere, but at least, you know, it had been done at least once.
Yeah, that always makes you feel a little better.
Yeah, makes you feel it's possible at least. Before we wrap it up, anything else from the chat room? I just want to say thanks to everybody for listening, first of all. And I hope you got something out of this. I don't feel like I was very good today, but, you know.
No, I think you did really great.
Oh, thanks, Peaches. Well, again, you saved my ass, man. You really did. Because I would have just started rambling on about nothing. At least we have some... We had some sense of direction for this talk today, so that was good. We ended up having that.
Yeah, Bash RC says that you did well.
Oh, that's great. Thank you. Yeah. So, filling an hour is difficult. I used to... Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it is. I used to do... I'm actually going to start doing a podcast again on music. It's kind of a similar in nature of this, but a little more expanded, different topics every week. About, like, being a music hacker, things like that. But yeah, I podcasted before, and I used to, like... there was a time when I was, like, trying to do 3 hours a day, 5 days a week.
Jeez, man.
And that was... yeah, because I was like, well, other guys do it. Well, I can do that, too. You know, which is usually the mindset that gets me... into trouble. So here we are. Yeah, me getting into trouble again, trying to fill another hour. But we did it. So there you go. Reminiscing about the C64 brought back many memories. Yeah, absolutely. If you guys, do you mind if I throw a plug for my Commodore website?
You
1200baud.wordpress.com. And it's a Commodore just blog about BBSing in the modern age. So if you guys want to. The Spectrum was better. There's a lot of Spectrum fans out there who are Commodore fans as well. And a lot of, actually, like, titles. You know, because there's, you know, there's no marketing right now for new software. There's very few new titles coming out. So one of the projects that people do, you know, is port specy titles over to the Commodore and vice versa now. So you see a lot of that going on. It's kind of a side aspect of it. Anyway, I want to say thank you again for listening. And I know my mom's out there listening. I should say hi, Mom.
Oh, Mad Joe's asking for what's the URL of that blog?
Oh, 1200baud. 120. Oh, I'll just type it into the...
Type it into the chat.
Yeah, that's good. Good idea. baud.wordpress.com. Yeah, type it. Just did. There you go. And what software are we using for this? It sounds like there's some kind of compression on it. Is there any? Or are you just going straight?
Oh, for the stream?
Yeah, for the stream. For this audio that I hear in my headphones. Are we using anything in specific for it?
The headphones, it should actually just be the feed...
Direct from
the
board. Wow, it sounds really good. Like, it sounds compressed. It has a really nice fullness to it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, good work on that. Do we have a mic in the room? Sound like with the audio of the actual room itself? Because, like, yeah, every time I listen to Radio Statler, I always hear all the people in the background from the other room, which is a cool thing. They're not too into the mix, you know? They're, like, far enough away. But I was like, oh, maybe they put a like microphone in the center of the main room or something, because it sounds really cool. You know, you just hear that hustle and bustle of people in the background. It's like, oh, yeah, they're in the middle of this cool activity, you know, active thing happening. So,
well, I think part of it is we turn on all the mics.
Oh, okay.
So all of the mics are on.
Okay. Well, that will definitely do it. This guy could definitely act as a room mic then. Yeah. Okay.
But no, so Nick God did all the design work.
Okay.
For getting this all set up. And he did a hell of a job.
Yeah, fantastic.
This is the fourth time out, so every year we've been doing a little bit better and a little bit better. And I think he has really crazy plans for like next year, but he won't tell anybody about it until
okay.
the conference.
It's like, well, if he needs any help, have him give me a ring.
Yeah.
I got, you know, we got this, I got a studio on the Lower East Side and be more than happy to pitch in two years. So, fantastic.
Okay. Well,
it is 10. Yeah. It's 9:58.
9:58. I think.
Who's on at 10? Oh, were we going to a, what's going on at 10?
Oh, so again? 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock is Restore the Fourth.
Oh, Restore the Fourth.
Yeah. So that's, Alex Matthews, and he's got a friend or two with him. So that's up next. It should be pretty exciting.
Yeah. Are they coming in here?
Yeah.
So we're just waiting for them to show up.
Well, actually, I think Alex is out there now.
Okay. So he's waiting for me to get out of here.
Well, it's not his time slot. You still got a minute.
I still got 40 seconds. I have nothing to say.
Okay, well, we can wrap now.
Yeah, let's wrap. Let's all wrap, right. Everybody. Let's keep this thing on schedule, huh? Thank you very much for having me. And again, thank you very much.
Hey, no, thank you for coming in.
Yeah, man, absolutely. It was a pleasure. And anybody at home, come see me at the Commodore 64 table in the demo area.
Yeah. Oh, and I want to make sure you got, you should have a donut.
Oh, I should have a donut.
You should. We have donuts in here. And then, like, I don't think I thought this plan through very well.
Oh.
Because
you get a donut and a sticker for speaking on Radio Statler. Here's your prize. Here's your payment.
But so I had Stape, who does the website. I was like, dude, get some munchkins for up in here. Like, so
yeah.
We can have people who come in to talk on the radio have munchkins. But I apparently didn't think through that they'd need to actually, like, be talking on the radio.
Yeah,
and right. We don't have them, like, the sound of people eating donuts. That sounds like something you'd play at like 2 a.m.
Yeah, absolutely. That would be the late night show for sure. All right, cool.
All right. Well, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
It's great having you.
Yeah, same here. It was great being here.
All right. Well,
see you guys later. Enjoy.
We'll be back in just a minute with our next wonderful set of people coming on. We'll be right back.